T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I mentioned we're on the video presentation. You want to check us out? Got a different shot for me because I'm downtown. Rare appearance downtown. Check us out. Chad Hartman and Purple Insiders, Matthew Collar. Just listen on Odyssey. You can listen on WCCO Radio. You can also check us out on Twitter and Facebook. Matthew is with us. Okay, Matthew, let's talk Dalvin Cook. Okay. Dalvin was having one of those games last week where it looked like he was just looked like he was a varsity player against the junior varsity. It was just breathtaking to watch him. And then he tweaks the ankle. And then you kind of wonder within the game if he's going to be okay. And then you wonder, could this linger for a couple weeks? Well, you're out there on a day when Zimmer, I forget if it was Wednesday or Thursday, was asked, well, how's Dalvin? And he basically said, I don't care if he has one leg, one arm. We got to win. Dalvin's going to play. The question is, what kind of Dalvin are we going to see on Sunday against the Seahawks?
Yeah, he didn't practice at all this week, which is not generally a good sign. Usually Friday, you get a sense for if a guy's out there, even if he's missed the first 2 days of practice, that, okay, there's a good shot that he's going to be out there and he's going to be okay. But the fact that Dalvin didn't do much today is problematic. I mean, I think it says, even though they are cautious with him, that he's nowhere close to 100% with that ankle. And I think what you saw last week was when he had the ankle turned, after that, the burst just disappeared. There was one particular play that when I looked back on the coach's tape, where you can see all the 22 players and everything, where the normal Dalvin Cook might burst it for 50, but he gets caught by a linebacker and gets like a 1 yard gain. And in the past, when they've tried to do a pitch count or a limitation on how much Dalvin can do, it just hasn't been very effective. I remember a game against Los Angeles a few years ago where they had to throw 50 passes or something because Dalvin Cook just wasn't the same player. And going against the Seattle team that just got shredded by Derrick Henry, you really thought this could be another one of those games for Dalvin Cook. Now, he has been a notoriously fast healer. Even when he came back from his ACL injury, he came right out the first week and was amazing. So nothing would surprise me. But when he's been in that category of banged up, that's when you see the yards per carry dip a little bit. You don't see that extra jolt. And especially with an ankle injury, we're talking about a running back here. I think Alexander Mattison needs to be ready to go.
Okay, we have an extra game this year, so it's not perfectly analogous, but I saw this stat today. It's about 3% of the teams started the year 0-3 and made the playoffs. So let's branch this out. They've got these three straight home games. They have the Seahawks Sunday. They get the Browns, another very good team. And then they get the permanently woebegone Lions at the end. To be back in the legitimate mix to make the playoffs, even though it's only five games in the season, their record needs to be what?
Do you mean like overall or just
the, well, after these five games?
So oh,
after,
five games, five games. Yep, okay.
After these next three home games,
okay,
they have to be 3-2. Or is 2-3 okay, considering, again, it's a 17-game season?
Sure. I was thinking of it maybe even stretch it out to six games before the bye.
Okay.
Because you get Carolina on the road, which even though they've played well, they've also played the Jets and they've played the Texans in a hideous football game last night. So I think you need to be 3-3. I think there is room for a little bit of error here, in part because the NFC North has not looked very special, and the Green Bay Packers are playing this week against San Francisco. They could definitely lose that game. And if Green Bay starts 1-2 and Chicago is playing Cleveland, if they start 1-2, then even if you go to 0-3, you don't feel like you are a million miles out of the division. And the NFC has a lot of teams that are just not super special. The problem is that even if you get to 3-3, if it's 2-4, that's really tough at the bye week. The second half of the schedule is very difficult. You've got Green Bay twice. You got to go to Soldier Field, which just never seems to work for this team. You have to go out to Baltimore. You have to go out to San Francisco. You have to go out to Los Angeles. It gets really tough. So I think they have to be at least at 500, at least neck and neck in the NFC North division race if they're going to have any chance. So after these next couple of home games, I think you got to get 2 out of 3.
Let's talk about Anthony Barr. He's practicing this week. It appears he's going to play on Sunday. Nick Vigil, and you study this way better than me, Purple Insider, Matthew Collar, it's video breakdowns, it's podcasts, it's Mailbag Today, it's interviews. I highly, highly recommend it. Nick Vigil's made plays, right? And he's even made the type of plays that Anthony Barr doesn't make as frequently. Now, Zimmer will continue to tell us we don't understand football, the way Barr plays, the other team has to react, they're scheming against Barr. What's your sense on that? What is your sense on how good Vigil has been? And if Barr gets completely healthy, and he's not there yet, is it just Barr or could there be a rotation of some sort?
If he's 100% healthy, it's just Barr. And I've had other people look at this, football coaches who know more than me about the X's and O's, who say that what Mike Zimmer states about Anthony Barr is very much legit, that Barr at his size, his wingspan, and his speed and strength, like that combination is very rare. So when he blitzes, he can run over a running back at full speed where Nick Vigil probably gets stopped if the running back is in the right spot. Running backs coming out of the backfield, going sideline to sideline. Anthony Barr is incredibly good at tracking them down. Tight ends who are 6'5" do not have an advantage against Anthony Barr. They might against the smaller linebacker. Even we saw this with Eric Wilson a little bit where a guard coming out, for example, run blocking could push Eric Wilson out of the way. You can't really do that with Anthony Barr. So there are these small details that add up at the end of a season to a lot of value. There's also his intelligence, his communication, his mastery of the defense. All these things matter. But how much they matter is sort of in question, right? Because Eric Wilson played really well and he made splash plays. And now we have Nick Vigil with a sack and an interception. Well, he's produced as much in the last 2 weeks as far as splash plays as Anthony Barr has in the last couple of seasons. So I think that Mike Zimmer is not feeding you a line when he talks about the value of Anthony Barr. But I think that of all the players that could be out who you can replace and have somebody else in there, Barr is probably a little bit higher on the list because of how good Eric Kendricks is.
So let's talk about the opponent. Russell Wilson is familiar because of his 1 year with Wisconsin. He's familiar because it seems like the teams play each other every year. Seems like the games are mainly in Seattle on a Sunday or Monday night. So it's kind of shocking they're finally playing at US Bank. Russell tapered off last year, right? Still was good, but the first half, it was the traditional, hey, how is it possible he hasn't had an MVP vote? We don't appreciate him enough. Give me your thoughts on Wilson so far and the Seahawks, including what happened to Tennessee last week.
It's actually kind of interesting that Seattle still plays a little bit conservatively with Russell Wilson. And that was the thing at the beginning of last year is Pete Carroll said, all right, let's just take the reins off. We're not going to be a run first team anymore. We're going to throw. One of the problems was they don't really have a good defense. And so this is not Legion of Boom. And what happened is they were playing in shootouts every single week. And I think that as a defensive coach at heart, Pete Carroll was driven insane by that. And so this year, they're actually doing more of Rams type offensive stuff. They're running a lot of motions and things like that. They have Russell Wilson under center. So this will be a very different look. But it's interesting that Wilson has always beaten the Vikings. He's never lost to him. He's 7-0 and 5-0 against Zimmer. But in recent games has not been that good. And even last year, he struggled for three quarters out of that game and then went crazy at the end, of course, and did Russell Wilson things. But the chess match between Mike Zimmer and Russell Wilson, I think, is a very interesting one because I think that Zimmer understands what Wilson can process and what throws him off a little bit. And then we're going to be talking about US Bank Stadium, the noise, and things like that. So I think there is an advantage for the Vikings here, even though Wilson has overall had their number.
Matthew Collar is with us. Check out all his work, Purple Insider. the two of us in all of our formats at times just sauteed the offensive line for valid reasons, right? But you look back to last week, Cousins had plenty of time. Dalvin in the first half, it was Dalvin, but don't get me wrong. As you know, there were enormous holes. Is that a one-off, or is it possible this offensive line is going to be a little bit better than maybe we were going to give them credit for, and that we kind of fell back in the habit because of how just awful they were against Cincinnati?
I think that this offensive line has a kryptonite. So if you have a defensive tackle who's really powerful, that Garrett Bradbury is not going to be able to go one-on-one with him. That's just a fact. And Cincinnati had that. Arizona did not. They were moving Arizona's nose tackle like he was a piece of furniture over the first quarter of that game. So there's part of it. The other part of it is, last week, they very rarely had to be in drop-back situations. So there's a PFF stat about true pass sets, which means when your quarterback is not getting play action, just dropping straight back, sitting in the pocket, looking for his receiver, they only had to do that 10 out of 35 times that Kirk Cousins dropped back, which is very unusual. It's a very small number. And that comes from play action passes. They were getting the ball out quickly and things like that. So I think that Clint Kubiak has helped them a little by getting the ball out quicker. But also last week, situations matter. I mean, when Dalvin Cook is ripping off 8, 10, 12-yard runs, you're in a lot of first and 10, second and short. That impacts your offensive line a lot. And so that's where it all kind of ties back in, even though sometimes I feel like I'm in the 90s or something saying it all ties back into the running back. But it really does with this team, and that's why Dalvin Cook's injury is very much one to watch, because if they're in those situations, those favorable spots, Kirk Cousins can absolutely shred the Seattle defense.
Great stuff as always, sir. Remind folks, Matthew Collar is with us every Friday, 2:35. Follow him on Twitter, at Matthew Collar, and sign up for Purple Insider. It's well worth it. I'll enjoy your work over the weekend. Oh, nice, nice. I like the logo on the back.
Got the flag, yep.
Excellent. All right, man. Enjoy the weekend, and we'll talk next Friday.
Thanks, Chad.
Matthew Collar, from Matthew Collar to the greatest golf champion, Jack Nicklaus. That Jack Nicklaus on opening day of the Ryder Cup will join us. Get ready. He's 3 minutes away.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O' Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh.